Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 530. Science Faction, a fungus among us.
Science Faction 530. Holy shit, I have been your punching bag for 530 episodes. God damn, I'm going to be having an existential crisis in the background. Keep going, Bobby. Holy fuck.
By punching bag, do you mean person who obstinately refuses to win a simple game that they have been playing for now 7 years?
Life? Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I have not done well. We're talking the board game as well as the simulation, the Elon Musk simulation we're all living in.
Your problem with your life board game is you always trade members of your family for like scraps of snacks that people in the board are playing with in real life. So you never end up going farther in the game because some would say you are seizing the moment of life itself to get that extra Snickers bite. But in doing so, you are trading literally the members of your board game life family.
Yes, however, I am trading fictional board game family members who, yeah, mm-hmm. I did grow attached to them. And yes, tears were had, but these are things I had to do to get the calories I needed to remain morbidly obese and on physical disability.
Yeah, you're actually one of the only people who legally in the state of California actually had a court take away his family members from the game of life in a judicial decision.
Yeah, they made the plastic pieces choose. First off, they rarely make the the children plastic pieces testify, yeah. But they did in my case.
Uh-huh.
Please show on the adult human doll where they had to remove you from your father. Your Honor, this is should be an open shut case.
And speaking of an open and shut case, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my newly married comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how is that married life treating you?
I'm doing great. Let me just say, the court does not care whether you're married or whether you're single. If you're putting by the way, I was putting plastic toys up my ass,
yes.
Like in America, like anybody who shows up to an ER room. It mm-hmm. just so happens that these were actually representative of children in a board game.
Yes.
My children specifically. When I do this plume in the game, sorry, nobody bats an eye, even though it's a physically a bigger and less comfortable piece.
Oh, you're sorry afterwards.
Sorry, it wasn't a bigger piece.
Damian, you actually did just get married in real life over the week. Are you super excited to now be a husband and a head of household?
Yeah, it's great. We had a 300 person ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. There weren't any outdoor venues, and it was cold and rainy, so we just had like a really small indoor venue.
Yeah, you did it in a 25 person indoor venue.
Yeah, it was like an old cigar lounge too, so everybody was just smoking cigars, just puffing away indoors.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh, man, I've had this really naggy, wet cough since, but don't worry about me. It was going like way before the wedding, so it couldn't be COVID. I didn't get it from the wedding. If anything, I brought it to the wedding, which means...
I mean, it's no Big Moose Lodge, but I guess you could try and be your own super spreader event.
Yeah, and truth be told, we only had 150 people, but fortunately there was an old folks home next door and all of them. You know, it's the holidays, we kind of wanted, you know, like, hey, let's pick
everybody
up.
They're lonely, invite them in.
Oh, come on, only the immunocompromised ward is here? Well, come on, we don't care. We're America, fuck science.
Yeah, when you get real wasted, sometimes they'll let you share some of that oxygen tank. That gets you nice and good, too.
No joke, I got a new job during this pandemic. For the most part, I get to stay away from people. But one of my coworkers kind of unironically told me a story about a wedding he went to like a month ago that wasn't too far off from this. I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, get this guy the fuck away from me right now.
Oh, dear. So this week's going to be a little bit different. Some of our non-patrons are actually going to get a Christmas gift from us, which means they're going to get our weekly
episode. Dick pics.
I said Christmas gift, not weekly offering, Damian.
I'm wearing a Santa hat in this one. Well, I'm not, but a part of me is.
Yeah, right. It was designed for a mouse, but it has gone so much farther.
Do you realize how hard it is to craft a beard that looks realistic for a penis?
I mean, technically, some well-shaped pubes could have done the trick, but I did this on a workbench.
You'd have to ask the Etsy artist, which I awkwardly asked to complete the project.
And then you have to take a picture of it at a slight angle from the front so it looks like the urethra is actually a weird-shaped smile.
I did this. I added googly eyes. I thought that was fun. Look, it's still on. He's shaking right now. Oh, look at him go.
Dear. So, yeah, our non-patrons will get to hear our I Call BS episode, which is usually a Patreon-only thing that we'll still release on Patreon first, but eventually our non-patrons will get that as our Christmas gift to you. So you guys, you know, don't thank us. We make that episode either way. Thank the patrons who support the I Call BS and who pay for it and allow us to make that every single week.
Do not. I repeat, do not thank Bobby, because let us remember that I Call BS was something that was once free to the masses.
True.
Then Bobby and his stingy need to turn a meager profit for his thousands of hours of work, his need to get a $15 return on literally thousands of hours invested.
Yeah, I still actually haven't taken a return out since it's all just for studio equipment. But also, I would comment that, Damien, the reason we had to switch it, if you remember, was because when it was available to the general public, we were getting literally in the seven digits of emails on a weekly basis about your refusal to play the game correctly. So you're right. Don't thank me. Hate Damien.
Listen, that's the Fox News reason. You can go ahead and believe Tucker Carlson over here if you want. But the truth is, Bobby was visited by three ghosts. Three angry ghosts who convinced him to give him our fans I Call BS one more time for this new year. Who were these three ghosts? Well, I'll tell you who when we get to our Patreons.
Well, let's get right on to our patrons, who, by the way, again, will be responsible for you guys hearing I Call BS for free this week, so go ahead and thank them. Patron number one, NBA Kirkland, an old Science Faction friend.
Hello, NBA Kirkland. It is I, Carl Sagan, the ghost of Christmas past. And I'd like to tell you that I took Bobby to his past as well as my past from the ceremony where Andrew Yan and I had our...
Andrew Yan!
Had our nuptials. Please, Bobby, I did not take away from your gay marriage, which was also a beautiful ceremony. But thank you, NBA Kirkland. Without your generous donation, I would not be able to take Bobby back to his homosexual college experiences which he denies. To even himself.
Listen, I wouldn't deny him if I had any. I just didn't have enough hot guys around me in college.
You know, if Damien was in the room right now and he was not Carl Sagan, he would be wildly offended by, perhaps even slighted by their last comment, Bobby.
You were nowhere near me in college. You were literally on vacation for half the time I was in college, hanging out in the desert playing with helicopters and shit.
I was serial fucking at a much better college, Stanford, right across the way.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. That was Carl Sagan talking.
Patron number two, and a guy who has helped us in the past few months with our Corona updates, Frank Daunt. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, Frank, so I apologize. But he's actually been our boots on the ground Belgium contact who has been filling me in on what's going on there with, by the way, the highest per capita death rate for COVID in the world right now. And Frank has been super useful. I've been, you know, kind of messaging with him back and forth about what's going on there so I could get like a good idea of kind of the reality of day-to-day life there and kind of what people there think is the problem. That he's helped influence episodes and stuff. So thank you so much to our patron, Frank.
Hello, Frank Dawn. It's Copernicus. You know, I'm also a European, which are Europeans just talking, supporting science. And thank you for your wild and generous donation to Science Faction. Because of you and your generous donation, the $15 appearance fee for Copernicus was paid, and I was able to be the ghost of Christmas Day present, and I was able to scare Bobby. I was able to interrupt a session where he was paying a hooker to step on his groin and insult him wildly to remind him that the fans need a free I Call BS this Christmas.
To be fair, that incident Damien describing, while true, was actually just a way for me to advance in the board game life.
You mind if I just sit here and watch? I delivered my message, Bobby. I'm just going to be in the corner.
And lastly, thank you to Lynn Canfield.
Lynn Canfield, it's Alex Jones here. I was going to be Jane Goodall, but I slashed your tires on the way over here. And the repair chimp couldn't get there in time. So you got Alex Jones. And let me just say, because of your generous donation, I was able to slash Bobby's tires, in effect, being the ghost of Christmas future. Now, I didn't actually have any message. I just slashed his tires and carved Alex Jones in the side of his vehicle.
Is that why on the night of Christmas Eve, as I was falling asleep, I heard loud ranting about fluoride in the water?
Fluoride!
Babe, do you hear something outside?
The Green Frogs!
They say if you close your eyes on Christmas Eve and listen carefully enough, you can hear a memory-erasing rant about chili.
I want to do a chili con carne before I came here. I'm blacked out right now. You can't trust anything I'm saying.
You know, I've been thinking more and more about that. We talked about how, if you guys had missed the episode, we talked about how Alex Jones literally made the claim in a courtroom. He made the claim that he had like a memory loss and he had forgotten all about his children's lives, not because he's a narcissist who doesn't pay attention to what's going around him and a pathological human being, but because he had had too much chili the day before, which in his mind gave him some kind of chili amnesia. And ever since then, I've just been imagining that like his idea, because again, conspiracy theorist, of if you see a UFO encounter and the men in black come and meet you, instead of that red flashing thing, they just huck some Hormel at your face. Get enough in you to hopefully make you forget the little gray men that you saw running away from the crash.
This ain't half bad. You know, sometimes I hang out just outside the Men in Black office just to catch a glimpse of aliens and hopefully get some free chili. Oh, I saw that. I saw that. That thing had four legs. Where's my chili? I tell everybody, I swear. That's why I wanted to find Bohemian Grove.
You know what I just realized? The ironic thing is, maybe chili is actually like the best tasting thing any of us have ever tasted, but we'd never know because immediately after eating it, we forget what it tastes like.
But, you know, sometimes when you poker, you don't play the hand, you play the man.
Sure.
What if he was just betting that this is the type of judge who takes pride in his five-alarm chili, and he was just throwing a Hail Mary?
Oh, dear. Let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
All right, guys, short episode today. We only got one article, but a very interesting one, A Fungus Among Us.
Oh, great. We're dealing with a short article, so it's going to be like really aggressive, like needlessly.
Short episode, Damien. But just to be clear, a lot of times short episodes work harder and thereby satisfy people even more than longer, thicker episodes.
Yeah, sometimes if an episode is girthier, I can understand. But I really think that a lot of times an episode can turn out like a Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. And then your episode just gets really into Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. All right, so this is a really interesting article out of this week's Scientific American. Super, super neat. It's one of those like scientific detective stories I love so much, which is why I wanted to cover it. So this starts with an outbreak in the Pacific Northwest, first realized in the early 1970s, but then kind of got ramped up in the late 1990s, of a fungus that's usually in seawater in subtropical regions of the Atlantic, like off the coast of Brazil, that somehow was infecting and, by the way, killing people who were hiking through the woods far away from the ocean in the Pacific Northwest. So, again, first case of this happened in 71. They notice that this person is now sick. There's something wrong with them. They check out their lungs and they find out that they have an infestation of this fungus, which is nowhere near the Pacific Northwest, as far as anyone knows. And, by the way, is a saltwater sea fungus that they talked to the guy who caught it, and the guy was like, no, I've been hiking out in the woods, but I've not been anywhere near the ocean.
You know, people lie. Fungus don't lie. I think that's the first thing they tell you in fungology school.
Yeah.
I'd say this guy's probably a D.B. Cooper. This guy's covering something up. Check this guy's story. This guy was in South America at some point.
Fungus don't lie. Sounds like a Spice Girls song about yeast infections.
You know what? I was like, what sense could this make? Like, are the Spice Girls making fungus sexy? But no, your empowering message about yeast infections, way better.
My, fungus don't lie. And so the same thing happened in 99 when another rash of these people came out who basically were getting sick, some of which were healthy young people who were dying from this fungal infection. And there became this scientific mystery.
I pictured an Amy Winehouse song.
How did this fungus get here? Where did it come from? Et cetera, et cetera. And it has basically been laid out. Now, it was first hypothesized. A lot of this was hypothesized in a 2013 Scientific American article. But then some papers were published up to and including last year that basically outlined the genetics of this and told this whole story. So I'm going to tell you this as a story. And it is super interesting and even more interesting that we have the science to actually tell this story now in 2020. So in looking at what that fungus. They had found that it had diverged, it had evolved rapidly from a common ancestor 70 to 90 years ago. And it had gone in weird, far-off places from kind of low-lying forest areas in the Pacific Northwest as far as towns really far inland on Vancouver Island that weren't actually that close to the ocean. And so people started wondering where this came from. Now, the first idea based on the genetics was it originally probably came in the ballasts of ships coming through the Panama Canal. Because all of a sudden, when the Panama Canal opened in 1914, you had the ability for shipping to come very, very quickly from the east coast of South America.
It's not a bad thing.
And then come through the Panama Canal. They would usually dump their ballast right before they got into port, which would leave basically this Brazilian water floating just off the coast of, you know, places like Seattle and stuff. And so it was just sitting there in the ocean. And that probably had been going on for 30 some odd years, 40 some odd years, you know, kind of unabated, starting in the 20s or whatever, after the Panama Canal opened. And that colony of fungus essentially established itself in the seawater outside of the Pacific Northwest, where it was native to a Brazil. It probably gained a few mutations. We all know how evolution happened. And then there is a colony of this stuff living in the seawater in the ocean off the Pacific Northwest.
Now, these fungal colonies develop resistance to the cold waters and the orcas.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting too much orca predation on them, you know, being fungi and all. But so they basically learn to adapt there. But then how is it that people are getting them when they're hiking? Well, the answer happened in 1964 when an Alaskan earthquake caused a huge tsunami that went throughout the area. It inundated a whole bunch of places in the Pacific Northwest. It was so powerful, it actually killed a bunch of people down here in California.
When they found out that there were properties up near Mount Rainier were done, like, oh, my heart.
Yeah, it was like a stock market. Everybody was committing suicide like the 1920s.
I invested in Seattle real estate.
So a bunch of the areas, the low-lying areas, were inundated around the coast, which actually correlate to where we now know this fungus lives. And in terms of places like we talked about that weren't near the coast on Vancouver Island that were fairly well inland, well, what they found was during that tsunami, it actually forced a whole bunch of seawater up an inlet that went miles and miles up. It like destroyed a whole town, took out like 50 houses way away from the coast because it forced it up a narrow inlet. And that is where the fungal colony settled. And so what we think happened is in 64, this transplanted fungal colony from Brazilian waters got spread onto land. When the water receded, those fungal colonies basically got stranded there on the land, and they had to quickly evolve from being a saltwater living fungus from Brazil that had already evolved to be a saltwater living fungus in the Pacific Northwest to living on dry land, which is very difficult. But clearly there was enough of them that got abandoned in these places that they were able to do it, and they diverged very, very quickly. The stuff that got stranded, you know, way inland in Vancouver Island looked really different from the stuff that was on the coast of Oregon, that looked really different from the stuff that was on the coast of Washington. And what we think evolutionary pressure-wise really drove them was the presence of land amoebas. Land amoebas eat fungal cells like this. And so what likely happened is there was a really, really strong evolutionary selection pressure to fight off these amoebas that would otherwise kill them all. And that same selection pressure drove this fungus to kind of get these techniques to avoid these amoebas. Those exact same techniques they used to avoid those land amoebas they suddenly encountered when they got stranded on land are the techniques they use to avoid our own macrophages in our immune system, which is why this otherwise non-lethal fungus that's in waters outside of Brazil right now and doesn't kill anyone there made its way into the Pacific Northwest, made its way onto land, and started killing people when they encountered it and breathed it in.
What were these techniques? Like dressing up as a bush? And because we're talking Pacific Northwest, so like
that's
as a
right.
Fern.
Yeah. Yeah, it was driving a Subaru. That's how they adapted the Pacific Northwest.
or like the fungus picked up a Canadian accent, and so we just didn't pay them any mind. I'll ignore them. Well, excuse me, I need some medical attention. I'm having a heart attack, eh?
It's such an interesting story on how this otherwise benign creature that lives all over, you know, the oceans in Brazil, you can be surfing out in Brazil, you can breathe it in all day long and you're not going to get anything. It's going to be totally fine. And yet it had made its way to the oceans here and through a series of events got stranded on land and became something that could actually kill healthy young people. Really, really interesting. Damien, here's a question. We actually have a fungus in the ground here in San Diego that is fairly lethal to people. Do you know what this is?
Is its deadliness also amoeba-driven?
Actually, I don't know. It might have some amoeba predators or something. I don't know if that's what makes it deadly.
Toxoplasmosis.
No. It's actually something called valley fever. It's not just here in San Diego. It's through many parts of the southwestern United States. But you can actually look at a map and consult a map online and see if you grew up in a place with valley fever. And knowing that is actually really important. It's something I ask when I hire new archaeologists, because it's actually something that hospitalizes a lot of people in my profession. So if you get valley fever, which is a fungal infection that lives in the dirt, so you get it when you're digging in the dirt, which lo and behold, tends to happen to archaeologists. It's a fungal infection that I have seen put people in the hospital. Friends of mine, people I have known, have gone into the hospital for weeks. Like, they're in the ICU. It's really bad. It gets in your lungs and really fucks you up. And a lot of those people can't ever do like hard labor stuff ever again because their lungs are scarred and they're really jacked up from it.
Bobby, is this like a real danger, or is this like how you play up Phoenix being a place that is hot in some way, hotter, or at least certainly hotter than Iraq?
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for admitting it is much hotter than Iraq.
No, I did not admit. I would never say that. That is a false statement.
As you have just articulated, it's one of the hottest places on Earth, but you are right. Like, not hot compared to like the inside of an oven that's also in Phoenix. But no, so valley fever is quite a dangerous fungus infection that you get here. But here's what's interesting. If you grew up in an area with valley fever and you grew up as a young kid digging in the dirt like I did, then you're essentially immune. Because what happens is you get exposed to it at a young age, kind of like the peanut allergy thing. You get exposed to it at a young age and your body learns to deal with it, and it's not a big deal for you. And so we actually, when we do excavations in certain areas, there's certain parts of San Diego that have it really, really bad. Areas by the Santee River have it so bad. There was one job I saw where like 10 people went to the hospital. So like, there are places we know have it particularly bad. And when we do excavations in those areas, we will actually ask people where they grew up. That will be part of your job application, because depending on if you grew up here digging in the dirt like I did, then you are immune to valley, or likely immune to valley fever. Whereas if you grew up on the north, in the northeast or something like that, there's no valley fever up there. Like, you're fucked if you try and come down here and dig in those places.
But because you know the neighborhood, like maybe like somebody will be like, I grew up, and they'll tell you the neighborhood they grew up in. And like, on paper, in the, you know that on paper, they should be allowed to do this job. Yeah. But you know that that was a rich neighborhood and this kid didn't play in the dirt.
Well, that we ask them that too. Yeah, we do ask them that. Like, hey, did you like grow up playing in the dirt and stuff? Like, I remember there was quite a few times where I would just be outside just digging holes. And it's like, why are you digging holes? And you're like, well, there's a shovel and there's dirt here. So
my parents are fighting.
No, it was just like, I remember digging holes where I'm like, oh, I could dig a hole deep enough where I could get inside of this hole. Like, I better start digging.
No. My holes were usually more chore-based. But yeah, same thing.
Anyway, thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 30, where you learned all about the fungus among us. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back later this week for our Science Faction special Patreon gift to our fans.
And this year's Grammy for Best R&B Single goes to the Spice Girls for Yeasty Friend.
Meh, 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 meh. Yeast up your life.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.